Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Radio is extremely important to streaming because radio owns audio. And we tell all of our brand partners, without radio, there's no streaming.
Why without radio, there is no streaming?
Because our brands are iconic.
Ah. So what you're saying is that people listen to your brands and then they migrate to your streaming services.
Absolutely.
And can you get people from other streaming services that are only streaming services and bring them to you?
That happens organically every single day because people that are listening to streaming services don't get the localized feel that a regular radio and audio platform bring. And that's what, and there's a lot of research and data that supports that.
Welcome to Latin Hitmakers, the Billboard podcast that tells the fascinating stories of the executives behind the greatest Latin artists and the hits that have been the soundtrack of our lives. I'm Leila Cobo. This past June, Albert Rodriguez was named the president of SBS Entertainment. SBS is the big conglomerate that includes some of the top radio stations in the United States and Puerto Rico, along with TV network Mega, and along with Ida Networks and SBS Entertainment, their live event division. Now, being appointed president wouldn't be such a big deal, except Albert is the first president ever in the history of this company, which is more than 40 years old, to not be an Alarcón. This is a family-owned company, and for the first time, they've passed the baton to a non-family member who for years has been the chief revenue officer. Today, we speak with Albert Rodriguez, and he tells us his story as the son of Cuban immigrants who made his way to become the head of one of the top media companies in the country devoted to Latin music. And it all started with a song.
Todo aquel que piensa que la vida es desigual tiene que saber que no es así, que la vida es una hermosura, hay que vivirla. Todo aquel que piensa que está solo y que está mal tiene que saber que no es así, que la vida no hay nadie solo.
Albert, that's Celia Cruz, La Vida Es Un Carnaval.
Yes.
Why is this song important to you and your career?
Because our lives, you know, is almost like a carnival. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs, and there's going to be the downs in your life, and you got to be prepared for the excitement in your life of a carnival when you're in the carnival, and you're going to be going up, and you're going to be going down, and you got to embrace for all this excitement. And Celia was such an iconic figure in the music industry.
Did you grow up listening to her?
Of course, I think we all did, and we still keep on talking about her. And how could we not keep on talking about such an iconic figure like her?
And you're Cuban-American. You were born in New York City, but your parents were Cuban immigrants. And now you head a company that is owned by Raúl Alarcón, who's the son of a Cuban immigrant and who grew up very proudly Cuban-American. So would you say that Celia Cruz, kind of the legacy of Celia Cruz, runs from the founding of SBS to your tenure today as president?
Absolutely, and the Alarcón family, in particular Alarcón Sr., may he rest in peace, and Jr., when he was a young kid running around the studios in New York City, Celia Cruz was walking around the office, and she'd be sitting in the studios, and they'd ask her, Celia, ¿quieres café? And she'd say, pues claro, quiero café. And then they would ask her the question, ¿pero lo quieres con azúcar o sin azúcar? And she'd say, pues claro, lo quiero con azúcar. Pues claro. You
know? That's like her big signature, azúcar.
Absolutely. Of course.
But let's go back to you being president of SBS, this is something that a lot of people never thought would happen, because the president for years was Raul Alarcón Jr. And of course, his daughters, Bianca and Ali Alarcón, are also working in the company.
And Andres as well.
And Andres, his son. Were you surprised, or did you know this was coming?
We had talked about this for some time. And it was going to happen right after the successful refinance of the company.
That happened this year, correct?
That happened early this year.
In 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have been talking about it for a while.
How does it feel to take over a company that's known as a family company, but that at the same time is such an influential company?
I always wanted the opportunity. But when it really hit me was the eve of him when he wrote, and this is very private, but I'll go ahead and make it public, the eve of when Chairman Alarcón Raul wrote to the executives and to me, that he said that this was going to be his last night of being president. And after 35 years, his father had given him the presidency, and after 2 years, he became president. And then tonight, after 35 years, he was giving me the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was very emotional that, from Alarcón Sr. to Alarcón Jr., to me, I had some really big shoes to fill and expectations. So
now tell us, for people who may not know, what exactly is SBS? What does this company have?
It is the largest minority-owned Hispanic entertainment company in the nation. Mm-hmm. That reaches over 22 million Hispanics on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm. Among other things, you own many fabulous stations, but Mega New York, which is the most listened to station in the country.
In the country, regardless of language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most listened to Hispanic station globally. So we have 300 radio affiliates across the country, reaching 94% of adults 18 to 49 per Nielsen. It's a very powerful network.
And now you just passed a pandemic, Albert. I remember when the pandemic first started, people were very afraid of radio. But actually, SBS did very well, didn't it? What was your strategy during the lockdown?
During the lockdown, immediately we huddled and we said, what are we going to do for our listeners and our viewers across our audio and video platforms? And we immediately started doing updates during every break in terms of what they can do to be safe, all of the guidelines in terms of, effectively wash your hands, how to cover your nose and all of that, mask up and to be as safe as possible, and to put all of the health guidelines in terms of how to protect yourself when all of this was new. And then we did weekly shows immediately. Within 2 weeks, we came up with a weekly show with our Emmy Award-winning host, Mario Andres Moreno.
This was on the radio.
Mm-hmm. And we did it across the country every Sunday, in partnership with the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of how to navigate through this pandemic and keep your businesses alive and keep your family safe.
And then you also had weekly, during your regular programming, you started to insert segments like every hour, giving news or every
news
couple of
tips,
hours?
News mm-hmm. tips every hour in terms of making sure that Hispanics were being safe. And what ended up happening is our audio impressions, we were looking at the data close, our monthly audio impressions that January before the pandemic were about 60 million audio impressions on a monthly basis. it just grew exponentially every single month. And right now, this past October, right now we're at about 180 million audio impressions on a monthly basis. And that's people that are listening to us on our streaming platforms.
So it's radio and streaming.
Radio and streaming. Our streaming platforms on La Musica app have grown through the roof.
So, and what happens with radio? Because a very ongoing conversation is that radio is no longer as important because they're streaming. So what do you say to that? Is radio seeding the way to streaming, or are they coexisting?
Radio is extremely important to streaming because radio owns audio. And we tell all of our brand partners, without radio, there's no streaming.
Why without radio there is no streaming?
Because our brands are iconic.
Ah. So what you're saying is that people listen to your brands and then they migrate to your streaming services.
Absolutely.
And can you get people from other streaming services that are only streaming services and bring them to you?
That happens organically every single day because people that are listening to streaming services don't get the localized feel that a regular radio and audio platform bring, and there's a lot of research and data that supports that.
And another thing that I hear about radio, which I've heard quite a bit lately, is I speak with artists, and even though they may be number one in streaming services, they tell me that they get most excited when they're driving in their cars, they turn on their radio, and they hear their song. I often hear artists tell me, I know I'm really successful when the radio plays my song. Do you still find that?
Absolutely. All of the artists tell us that every single day. The artists tell us that when they hear their songs on the radio, that's what drives results for them.
So, Albert, you grew up in New York City. What did you study and what did you want to be when you went to college?
When I grew up at a very early age in New York. I always wanted to get into either the financial world or into the business management world and all that.
So you're a businessman first and foremost.
Businessman first, but then eventually I wanted to get into either marketing or sales, and that was my passion.
And then you moved to Miami, correct?
Moved into Miami, and then I went to high school here, and then I went to college and university here.
And how did you end up working in music?
I think eventually what happened was I got involved in sales, and then I got involved in media sales, and then it took me into a higher management and then into an executive role, and that's what ended up happening.
What was your very first job out of college?
Accounting.
Where?
At a public, here in Brickell Avenue.
At some accounting firm?
At some accounting firm.
Okay, and now
it served its purpose.
Which was?
Financials, doing financial work, tax work. So it served its purpose. I learned how to read and look at financial statements and prepare them. It served its purpose.
So is that your secret weapon? You're great with numbers, or what do you think?
I think my secret weapon is really that I'm a good listener.
Uh-huh.
And I really understand people by being very quiet and listening to, you know, what the expectations are.
And how did you transition from an accounting firm, which at face value would seem very sterile, to this kind of sexy job? You know, you get to hobnob with all these big Latin names.
Transitioning from an accounting firm into a very low-level, entry-level sales job, giving me the hardest sales territory at a very entry-level job.
So this was Hialeah, not glamorous.
Not glamorous at all, in Hialeah, Florida, and knocking on doors and meeting people. And I guess it was the biggest gift of my life.
And this was at SBS?
No, it was at a company with the Chicago Tribune. It was actually in the late 80s.
And then how did you get into SBS?
From that Tribune job that they had opened Hispanic newspapers in South Florida, I went to work at the Miami Herald and in their Hispanic division, and I became a sales manager there, and I was there for several years. And that's when SBS called me and I offered me a sales manager job. But so, at the Miami level. And that's when I came over.
So that's a really interesting trajectory because you started in accounting and then you went to sales
and
marketing.
And then I went to sales.
And so you have kind of those two ends of the spectrum, which isn't that common.
I was at a point at the Herald that I wanted to make a change and I really wanted to come to SBS because of what they represented. It was a Hispanic-owned business, and I connected with the music that they were playing, and I wanted to be a part of that company.
And what surprised you, Albert, coming from the non-music world?
What surprised me was the power that I suspected that the audience had a surmountable power. But when I walked in and I saw it for myself and I visualized it once I was there, that you can go in and you can do an activation for a client and you can draw in thousands of people and it's immediate. And you saw the activation and you saw it immediate with your own eyes that you can create a promotion with an activation. It was almost like magic.
Media is always changing, but in the last 5 years, there's been humongous changes both in media and the music industry. How did you adapt the company to these changes? And by changes, I mean, number one, streaming. Number two, artists releasing music at a much faster clip. Number three, beyond streaming, there's so many entertainment opportunities for people. What was the biggest adaptation that you had to do, or the biggest change to the company, or the biggest addition to the company?
What I do is I push our teams at the local level and I empower them to make the right decisions. That's what I push our teams to do. Instead of like at corporate, we set the vision to grow faster than pretty much than the industry does. And you'll see in the trades that our company is growing revenue faster than any radio company in the country.
How are they doing that? Because you have so many levels, or where is your biggest growth coming from?
From right now, overall in radio, right
wow.
now.
That's
faster
amazing.
Than all of our peers in English or in Spanish.
And you think it's because of the localized activations, or is it because
it's
of the...
It's a combination. It's a combination because we empower our teams locally.
Mm-hmm.
We give them guidance and we give them support, but we empower our local teams to make the right decisions. I don't tie up the company with a lot of red tape. I empower our teams to make the right decisions right there with the clients, as opposed to having so many layers of making decisions and then delay a process to get, let's say, activations done.
And Albert, you work very closely with the industry.
Very closely.
And not just SBS does, and you personally do.
I'm a very hands-on COO and president. I'm engaged with clients at a local, at a regional, at a national, at a network level.
And you're also engaged with artists, aren't you?
Correct.
But how is it common for artists to come and say, I want you to hear my music?
It is, and I rely on the programmers to make that decision. But we're supportive with the artists, and we tell the programmers that we want them to look at, obviously, new artists and support new people that are coming, because that's how we cultivate radio, for radio to evolve and to break new songs and new artists.
One of the things that SBS did a few years back, which I love, and you were not president yet, but you were the CRO and the COO, I believe, is you launched a station in Miami called Cubatón.
Correct.
Tell us about Cubatón and why Cubatón is such a special station.
Cubatón is a special station because it's a new format. It's one of its own, And if you look at that station in particular, right, you can look at, there's no other station like it in the country. If you look at several of the artists right now, let's highlight one that's being nominated for a Grammy right now, Jotuel. Okay. He's in an incredible moment in his career, and he is very grateful to us. I talk to him personally like almost every day, and he's like, you guys are so instrumental in my career personally. You guys basically made a station that no one has in this country. I'm being nominated for a Grammy.
For Patria y Vida, the song about Cuban liberty.
Yeah, Cuba liberty. It's resonated. It's an incredible hit. It's resonated across the country.
I remember when you were going to open Cubatón, I spoke to your head of programming, Jesus Salas, and I said, I don't think this is going to work, Jesus. This is like so niche. And he was like, no, it's going to work. Why did it work, Albert? Precisely because it's so very local? Is that the secret?
Because there's a certain rhythm of that specific music that was needed in this country for the Hispanics. Mm-hmm. And if you go, right, and let's say I'm talking, let's say for Miami right now, you go in Miami and you go in any of the cars, people are listening to that music, and it's not just Cubans that are listening to it. Any background, Colombians, Venezuelans, Central Americans, Mexicans, everybody's listening to that music. And that station went from like a 1.8 share, and it has now 5-4, like a 6 share in some of the Nielsen ratings. The station skyrocketed it immediately mm-hmm. in the ratings and is held tremendously.
Do you have any other example like that, say, in California, which is a completely different market? Have you launched any other new stations in the past few years that are very focused to those markets?
We have La Raza, who the ratings came out, and still La Raza is the number one Mexican regional station.
What makes La Raza different?
It's iconic. It's been La Raza for decades.
Mm-hmm.
The call letters, KLAX, LAX,
mm-hmm.
it identifies with Los Angeles. And we've been true to the Mexican regional office. And we play what the marketplace wants.
Mm-hmm.
Imega in Los Angeles is true to the moment of the urban movement
mm-hmm.
that's been on right now with Los Reggaetoneros. And right now with Calibash. Calibash, we're doing 3 nights in LA in January.
So let's make a little pause so that people know. Calibash is a concert, a live concert franchise that SBS launched over 10 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
10 years ago.
And it was the very first Latin urban festival launched in this country. And it's done typically in Los Angeles. And now you've expanded to 3 nights at the Staples Center, right?
At the Staples, right.
And then also in Las Vegas. So 3 nights at the Staples is pretty monumental. And one of the things that happens in Calibash, which I love, is that through the years you've had these big guest artists that come from out of genre. Justin Bieber has played there, for example. So
Chris Brown. LeBron James, the basketball player, was there in the last show. It's a very iconic show. And we've expanded the show into Las Vegas, and it's sold out in Las Vegas. So even in L.A., we put in there 17,000 people in Staples. In the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas, we sell it out too. And we'll do a banda show, which is doing spectacular now in January. It's going to be another sellout as well.
What makes Calibash unique? You were telling me it's about the lineup. Who's going to play there this year?
Maluma. Balvin,
mm-hmm.
Ozuna, Mike Towers, a bunch of other artists, are going to be there. But what makes it's the experience, and it's the way of the flow of the show. There's a lot of excitement, and obviously there's a big excitement with the show. It's like a party, mm-hmm. and it's ongoing. It's very, very fast paced.
Albert, one of the big challenges of media today is how to keep this younger audience engaged. What changes have you had to make to the mentality of your company to achieve that? Like, how has SBS remained relevant?
Just making sure that we keep them engaged through the pandemic with putting the best music possible, mm-hmm. keep them in tuned, making sure that we're there with them. Our iconic talents have a way to speak with them. In particular, through the pandemic, and a lot of people have had to stay home, our iconic talents have had a way to speak to them through the pandemic and letting them know, you're not at home alone. We're going to help you get through this pandemic.
So that's in terms of relationship with the audience and sending
with the race.
Yeah, but what about keeping people engaged, coming back for more of, say, your music programming? Because you have to serve the older listener, but you also have to serve the younger listener, right? And
correct.
You have to keep a hold of that younger listener so you don't lose them in 10 years. So how do you do that? What have you had to change in the way you program your stations, both radio and television?
So we've had to do a combination. We've had to do a lot of, you know, we do a lot of continuous research, right? To find out which songs of the past they still want to listen to when we put it in our music mix to make sure we keep the people in certain ages in tuned with our music and blend it with the new songs of this new generation.
One of the comments I hear quite often from people is that the world has become a reggaeton world. And that there's nothing else to listen. Obviously, reggaeton and urban music are very popular now. But how do you balance that?
We try and blend all different kind, both music genres, mm-hmm. with our tropical music formats.
So a station like Mega New York is not just urban music.
It's not just urban music.
Wow. Oh, give us like a snapshot of, for people that do not know Mega New York, give us a quick snapshot. What would I hear in an hour on Mega?
Look, each day you'll be listening to salsa, you'll be listening to urban, you might listen to some pop, you're listening to Camilo mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
And you're going to be surprised. Camilo is doing really well in our research.
Interesting.
So you're going to be hearing a combination of a lot of different kinds of music.
So I can hear Balvin and Camilo.
You can hear Balvin and Camilo.
What is your big area of growth right now?
A lot in podcasts and a lot of on our morning shows across the country. We're seeing a lot of people listening to them. Again, if they miss it, let's say in a specific day, they'll go back and they'll listen to it maybe in the next few days.
Is there a big project you're going to launch in the next 6 months that we should know about?
What can I tell you? We're going to put on tremendous amounts of shows next year. That I can tell you.
Of podcasts or live shows?
Live shows, entertainment concerts. We're going to be doing concerts pretty much every single month next year.
I love that. That's through your entertainment division.
Through our head of entertainment, through Ali Alarcón and her team. They're doing a great job.
And how do you see yourself and SBS in, I'm going to give you short term because this is a very fast moving industry. I used to ask people, how do you see yourself in 5 years or 10 years? And now how do you see yourself in 1 year and in 5 years?
How do I see myself in 1 year? Next year is going to be one of our greatest years in terms of overall performance. And in the next 5 years, we're going to continue to outpace the marketplace in terms of overall growth. Mm-hmm. We're going to grow digital probably faster than anybody. Our La Musica app is the highest rated app overall from our peers. We have a 4.9 rating compared to a 5. Most of our peers are not even near that. So we're very proud of our rating. And we're probably going to continue to grow faster than our peers with respect to putting on more shows. That's something that we're known to do very well. And we're going to do a lot of shows in 2022. We're very excited about that.
Albert, and looking back in your career at SPS, I know that you've done many things, but if you could name me one concrete thing that you're particularly proud of, what would it be?
Well, look, it was really Jesus's brilliant idea for Cubatón. Mm-hmm. I completely supported his decision. And when our chairman, Alarcón, asked me about Cubatón, because it was, you know, when you're going to change a station
in a
format, it's a big deal. And I remember that day I was in L.A. and Raul was at, our chairman, Alarcón, was asking, but what do we do? What do you think, Albert? And I said, there were a bunch of people on the call. And I said, Jesus, what share are we going to be at? And he goes, oh, we're going to double the share. And I said, we're going to double our audience share. Then that's what we're going to do. And we're going to go. And look, we were very successful. Within 90 days, we doubled our audience share. And within 6 months, at one point, we had gone up almost like triple. So we made the right business decision, which is great. But personally and professionally, I made the best decision for the audience. That's what made me feel really good, because at the end of the day, I want to please the audience. And when you please the audience, then what comes after, the business decision and our brand partners and the clients, you please them as well. And it gives me a great level of satisfaction when I get into an Uber in Miami and I tell them, okay, let's go, I'm going to a meeting, and they're listening to my station, our station, they're listening to that station, and I'll ask the Uber driver, hey, tell me about that station, and they'll tell me, oh, that's the best station in Miami, no station does anything like that. And when I go home that night, I get into another Uber and they're telling me the same exact story. So I think that gives such a great level of personal satisfaction when you made a positive change in people's lives and they are so satisfied when they're doing their work and they listen to a station that they don't take off their dial because there's no other option like that. So something like that gives you such personal satisfaction that you can influence people's lives in a positive way.
Albert, how many children do you have?
We have three.
How old are they?
One's turning 15 this weekend. Our second daughter is 10, and I have a baby that just turned 6 months old.
So the 15-year-old especially.
Yes.
What music does he or she listen to, and what feedback do they give you about on all your properties and your shows?
They love English music. With the Maluma songs, they love Balvin like crazy.
Interesting.
They really enjoy his music. They're interested in with Bad Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy his music as well.
And I'm sure they're bilingual.
They're bilingual.
So how do you reach this young bilingual audience? Are you creating content just for them?
On La Musica, we're creating short-form videos so they can look at and they can hear. Very, very short so they can hear these artists play their music.
In both languages?
Well, no, in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
In Spanish.
Even though they're bilingual?
Even though they're bilingual.
How important is Spanish to your brand?
Very important to our brand. We're going to continue that focus.
Why?
Because it's our culture. It's our culture.
So SBS will remain, it will expand, it will add podcasts, it's going to do streaming, but it's in essence...
Spanish.
Spanish.
Yeah, listen, it's the most streamed music in the world right now, and people are listening to it in hundreds of languages across the globe, so Why wouldn't we?
Are you surprised watching the trajectory of Latin music? Because I imagine at some point in your career, you must have thought, huh, our audience is diminishing. And then suddenly there's been like this resurgence of interest in Spanish, hasn't there?
I always suspected that the rhythm, okay, just the rhythm and the sounds always connected with people across the globe. Like you'll see what happened with Gloria Estefan decades ago and other artists. So it was the specific rhythm that I knew would continue to reach and connect with listeners across the globe. So I'm not surprised.
Okay, well, Albert, we like to finish our podcast with what we call our a couple of rapid questions. So let's do this. You head a music media company. Give me three artists on your playlist right now.
Yotuel, Balvin, and Celia Cruz.
How do you relax on a day off?
I like to read a lot on technology.
Latest book you read?
I read a lot of books on business strategies. I continue to read a lot of books on marketing and business strategies.
What are you afraid of?
Let's see, what am I afraid of? I'm really not afraid of anything. I'm basically fearless, to be truthful. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm really fearless.
Bucket list trip.
I really want to go to the Maldives or Bora Bora. The kids have been asking me to go to Hawaii.
If there is one concert you have not been able to see live and you want to, who would it be?
I want to go see Elton John, because I've seen all the Hispanic ones, so... So, Elton John, maybe.
And one artist that you've always wanted to book for Cali Bash, but still haven't been able to get.
One artist we haven't been able to book for Cali. We've booked all the Hispanic ones.
And finally, tell us, I want to know the habits of a successful leader. First thing you do when you wake up, last thing you do before you go to bed and sign off.
I run my... all my financial reports when I wake up at 6 in the morning. Before I go to sleep, I tell my family I love them.
Muy bien. Thank you, Albert, so much. And here's to another great year for SBS and to your banner 2022 that's coming up.
Yeah.
That was Albert Rodriguez, the president of SBS Entertainment. And this is Latin Hitmaker.